What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 282 on this Thursday, July 2nd, 2026. Josh Calloway, Colin Kennedy, Brody Lusk with you on a Thursday. Lots of recruits to get to. Another big commit for Oklahoma late last week in Bodie Sparrow. We're going to break it all down. They did miss on the other big fish there in Utah, but maybe not done in the state of Utah. We'll get into all of that. Lots of movement out there that we'll get into on the show, obviously, today. Maybe a 2028 quarterback coming down the lane a little bit here soon. We'll have the details there as well on the program today. It's a major recruiting Thursday show. Got the right guys to talk to here with Colin and Brody. Also, a show announcement at the end of the show. We'll get to a little bit later, so stay tuned for that. Pack Thursday show. Been a lot of recruiting news lately. That's why you subscribe at Oklahoma.247sports.com. Use that promo code on your screen on YouTube, SoonersPod60. That gets you a 60% discount to Sooners Illustrated. The entire 24/7 Sports Network with us every single day at Sooners Illustrated. All right, fellas, let's get into it. 64 days from kickoff, and that number is got trimmed by one because the opener got moved up a day. We got a lot of recruiting stuff to get to, and we're going to do it. That's more important. But I wanted to just right off the top, the news of the week for the current team. The opener got moved up a day to Friday night, September 4th, against UTEP. They obviously did this a couple of years ago with the Temple game opening up on a Friday. How do we feel, Brody? It's going to be Brody's first game as soon as Illustrated. It's going to be a Friday game. Where are we at? How do we feel about this? Are you guys okay with this? The Friday, it's a polarizing, toxic subject. Some people get really upset about this. How we feel?
I guess I'm glad for it to start a day sooner, I guess. I mean, these are like the dog days of the offseason right now, I feel like, with no fall camp. I mean, I've been locked in on the World Cup. Team USA's they're rolling right now. They're rolling. So I guess glad to get the college football season started a day sooner, but I don't like the Friday night personally. I would rather it be on a Saturday night. But I guess it seems like kind of came down to, would you rather play Friday night or would you rather play Saturday night and have shorter time to get ready for an 11 a.m. kick at Michigan? Or would you rather play Saturday during the day in the heat of September? So, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but not a huge fan of Friday night.
I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I am not for it, certainly. I think that Brody rightfully has the itch getting to go cover the game and all of that as a newest member of Sooners Illustrated. Here for me, I mean, I'm just like, all right, you know, I'm anti-Friday night games almost in general. I mean, the Big 12 moving as many games as it did to Friday nights last year was catastrophic in my eyes. Now,
I kind of
actually that impactful? Probably not. And I mean, if you're going to do it, I'd rather it be this type of setup. But I don't know, man. Fridays are for football. And maybe that's the Texan in me, but whatever. I don't care.
You don't like watching BYU Kansas State?
High school football.
Friday night?
Right.
BYU Kansas State for me is a headliner matchup. I don't want to miss it when I'm covering a high school game on a Friday night.
You know Arizona State and winless Oklahoma State at 9 o'clock. I mean,
that's almost worse. Is like the 9 p.m. kick on a Friday. Like, what are we doing, dude?
That's the thing. Is, you know, Colin and I were both, you know, high school football guys. I work in high school football, obviously, here in Oklahoma, and so it's like Fridays for high school, right? That's how it feels.
Yep.
Look, selfishly, purely selfishly, I like it because it gives me Saturday off, right? I wouldn't have Saturday off otherwise for us. But I fully acknowledge that for a lot of fans, this kind of stinks, right? I mean, you have to either take off work or try to get down to Norman after work, which is brutal to do. Try to go, you know, you get off at 5 or whatever, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, trying to get to Norman. I get it. Like that hurts your entire experience, tailgating and all that sort of thing. And that's completely fair. And if you have a kiddo who plays high school football or whatever, like that makes it hard. And so I totally get that. But again, selfishly for us, I love it because I get Saturday off. But if you're a fan who's not who doesn't like it, I'm totally good with that. That doesn't.
I would hate to see I-35 that Friday before that game. I mean, no part in that.
I'm gonna be leaving at 1 p.m. for my house.
Yes,
maybe early.
Yes. I would want no
traffic. Might be right up there with like nosebleeds and hiccups as like my worst enemies in terms of just minor inconveniences in life.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic that will be generated on that Friday. Oh, man. You know, I mean, like I'm almost more. Remember when they moved the Houston kick
to Sunday? Then?
Yeah. I think that's the better move, in my opinion.
But. I liked it. I liked it.
I mean, you get a work week that's or a work day that's just going to be. It's I-35 is already horrible on any game day. Doesn't matter what time the kick is. It's someone who has to deal with that every single time coming into town for a game. I could not imagine on a Friday.
But like Brody said it earlier, I think the motivation for Oklahoma is to buy themselves an extra day for the Michigan game. I think that's really Absolutely. What it boils down to. Because, look, this game is still not on TV, which is bizarre, right? I mean, the fact that Oklahoma is on a Friday, and it's still going to be on SEC Network Plus, which most fans should be familiar with. They played the game on there last year. There's a bunch of, you know, obviously Diamond Sports play on there all the time. Even basketball has been on there, you know, a handful of times. So OU fans should be familiar with it. And I believe contractually – you have to play one game on there. And obviously the New Mexico game's already been picked up on ESPN2. And so that really just leaves this. That leaves the UTEP game. But, yeah, I mean, I think for Oklahoma, it was you could play Saturday night, but that cuts down your turnaround for Michigan. I do think Brent and the staff care about that. You play in the afternoon, that's like the peak hot heat of the day. You play early, like that's kind of the worst for like an atmosphere is early, right? I mean, nobody wants to play at 11 a.m. or noon or whatever, if you don't have to. And so I think there probably wasn't like a great option. And in Oklahoma's mind, Friday night was the best option. And look, the reality is that whenever you play this, it could be 3 a.m. on, you know, Sunday morning, like it'll be full. Like OU fans are going to fill the stadium and OU knows that, right? So even though they're going to take a little hit from like public opinion, it's going to be full. It's going to be a sellout. It's going, you know, that's not going to be impacted. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think they kind of just went with what they felt like was the best option available. So we'll see.
There's no denying operationally or logistically, like this is the move if you're, you know, trying to do what's best to go win football games and prepare for that Michigan game. But for like the fans and things of that nature, inconvenient. And I'm also very curious how many people now have to decide whether or not they're going to go. Yeah. See a family member play on a Friday night, or you know, how are they going to get home from work
in the state of Oklahoma? And I know there's a lot of OU fans that come from outside the state of Oklahoma, but obviously, when they did this 2 years ago, a lot of high schools moved their game up to Thursday. And that's week one of the high school football season here, and there's a lot of games on Thursday anyway. Truthfully, I would imagine more schools will try if it's at all possible. And look, some schools share a stadium, like it can't, you know, you can't, but. I would think that pretty much every school in Oklahoma, if they can move it, they will. They'll move it up to Thursday. So we'll see. But like
Bert said, at least you get a night game.
Not by a day. So that's the nice thing.
At least you get to see it under the lights. I mean, that's always good.
For sure. So the offseason slimmed down by a day. The opener now 9 weeks from tomorrow. We're getting closer. I mean, media days are just a few weeks away. Fall camp will be here before you know it. We shifted into the month of July, which is obviously a huge recruiting time. And that's what we're going to get into the meat of here with our guys, Colin and Brody, who have both had tons of stuff on the site every day. That's why you subscribe with us, Sooners Illustrated. Been a very busy stretch. Some good, some not as good. Let's start with the good. Let's backtrack to last week, hit the big news on the recruiting side since the last time the three of us were able to talk and do a show when I was still in Omaha. Whenever that was, early last week or the week before. I can't even remember. Time is mushy. Let's start with Bodie Sparrow. They got him. Big get here, obviously, for Oklahoma in their 27 class. We have him as an athlete at 24/7 Sports. Obviously, plays both ways in high school. He will be a safety, though, at OU. High-end player. Guy we've talked about for weeks and weeks on this show. Guys, I'll see you up there. I mean, this is a big-time get, obviously, for Brandon Hall in that safety room. Brody talked about it on the last show that they just – need safeties. That's a room that's going to be thin, you know, coming up pretty soon. Some guys moving on, going to be a little bit just a numbers game, not going to have as many guys there. You kind of needed to get this done, and they got it done. Talk about all angles of it, guys. The player, the fact that they needed him, he could maybe help right away, just kind of all of it as Oklahoma gets it done with Bodie Sparrow.
I mean, from a team standpoint, right, like getting a safety of this caliber is huge because we've mentioned this so many different times, but they need to improve that safety depth next season. And I don't think safety is going to be a position of issue this season. It's more so you just need more competitive depth at that position. You know, so I think with Bodie Sparrow, you get someone who's going to be able to come in and impact this team immediately, hopefully. So I think it's huge just from that perspective. I mean, aside from how talented of a player it is to get another safety and add him to that class. And then when you look at their defensive class as a whole, you have good defensive linemen in Crew Jones and Sam Nelson, and then your defensive tackle. Then you have Cooper Witten and Taven Epps at linebacker, five-star Gabriel Osborne at corner, and then a top 100 safety in Bodie Sparrow. So it kind of, I think, in a way, further solidifies how good of a defensive class this is.
We have a competitive depth mention, by the way. Everybody drink some of those.
Yeah, I'm saying that every podcast.
Knock it back. No, look, team perspective. Had to have it, but from a recruit perspective as well, this was one that I'm not going to say was a must get for Oklahoma, but high atop the priority list, certainly. I mean, I've said it in the past. I could make you an argument that Bodie Sparrow, at least within the last few weeks, since a lot of the dust settled from some of those runs on commitments, this was probably the guy that they maybe had highest atop the board. I mean, Bodie Sparrow was someone that they've been leading for, quote unquote, and pursuing for, I mean, it feels like forever. And going into the summer, Brody and I checking around, heard a lot of Utah buzz at the start. And then as the official visits progress, it's like, okay, maybe Utah is slipping out of contention and BYU was the program to climb into the race. And more on that in a second. It got pretty highly contested down the stretch, but Oklahoma steadfast, felt optimistic, and eventually is able to close with a guy that, again, they liked as much as anybody in this cycle. And when you look at the player, Josh, you mentioned it, guy who's been recruited and can play on both sides of the ball, receiver, defensive back, elite ball skills, I mean, really natural range because of his ability to play on both sides of the ball. An ideal fit for what Oklahoma wants to do at safety, but don't get it twisted, because he is a receiver and has the ball skills, that doesn't mean he didn't come down and strike people. He has that physicality that Oklahoma seeks at safety. There's versatility there as well. And that's why, in general, they kind of viewed this guy as a must get and a heck of a get for Oklahoma that it is. I mean, this was one that you really had to have, and it was excellent to see Oklahoma get it done down the stretch.
What do you guys like about the combo with Jalen Scott? I think I may have asked that before. I can't remember. But you know, you have these two guys. You need some more bodies in there. And it feels like that combo is very obvious to get excited about with those two guys coming in. What do you guys think of that kind of combination, how they complement each other? Or maybe they don't, maybe they're kind of a little bit of the same guy. Well, how does that duo kind of shake out to you guys?
I think the two complement each other really well, because back when Jalen Scott committed – and I talked about this with some folks in the Switzer Center all the way back when they offered him, when he was previously committed to Auburn. Jalen Scott is a controlled violence type of safety. That doesn't mean he has ball skills, but to me, Jalen Scott's name of the game for him is flying around and hitting people and having a calculated approach to aggression. And feeding off of someone like Bodie Sparrow, who, in my opinion, you talk about fluidity, you talk about natural ball skills, you talk the anticipation and feel in coverage as well. He's someone who can bait quarterbacks and has that kind of understanding of, if I do this, he might do that, and that's how I can make plays on a ball. When you have those two in the back end who can do a little bit of everything, certainly, but they also have clear strengths as safeties, I don't want to say we go back to the true old school strong safety, free safety look, but it has the makings of that type of duo, Brody.
Yeah, and I like the way, when you look at what their safety room could look like in the next few years, kind of how those two fit into what they already have. Michael Boganowski, Amarion Robinson, and then you're going to add in, like, obviously Bodie Sparrow and Jalen Scott. You know, they have Markel Ford. And then you look at, they're trying to add another safety in Jaden Fields, which Colin has done a great job reporting about Jaden Fields on the board for such a long time. But they're still pursuing another safety in this class. So obviously you get two really good ones in Jalen Scott and Bodie Sparrow. And I just think those two make sense with what they already have in that room, just adding different types of players to the Michael Boganowski, then the Amarion Robinson. So I think, kind of the thing for me is Brandon Hall gets who Brandon Hall wants. I mean, he is very, very consistent. And so a great job landing Sparrow, Jalen Scott, see if he can get a Jaden Fields, but he's doing a really good job beefing up that safety room for years to come.
And to your question, Josh, I like these two even more because a guy like Brandon Hall is developing them. Mm-hmm. So going to be, I think it's a set of stars headed to Norman at the safety spot.
You know, just another huge domino for this 27 class, which is just awesome. I mean, it's shaping up, obviously, certainly has all the looks of being a top five class. Obviously, still have a ways to go. So 5+ months from signing day, and we'll have that kind of more big picture-y combo then when these guys put ink to paper. But just, you know, the star power here. I mean, you with the, what they have in the offensive line with Penny and Hackett, and then obviously your Cooper Witten's, Epps, these two safeties, Gabe Osborne, obviously, like, there's just – there's as many dudes who feel like not just like good players, but potential cornerstone players in this class as any, at least recently that I can recall, right. For Oklahoma, right. In the last 4 or 5 years under Brent Venables. So it's exciting. Another big fish for Bodie Sparrow. He goes with Crew Jones, another one of those guys from the state of Utah. We talked, you know, whenever that was 3 or 4 weeks ago about Jim Nagy, the 3 for 3. Well, they were 2 for 2, but they do not complete the trifecta. As just earlier today, we held off. We were going to record this show earlier in the day, but we're like, well, let's wait because Yuhila Wolfgram made it official. He goes to BYU earlier today. So Oklahoma was able to pull Sparrow and Crew Jones out of the state of Utah, obviously kind of head-to-head over BYU with Sparrow. But Wolfgram lands with the Cougars. Guys, just kind of put a bow on this one. Obviously, this is a guy we've kind of like Sparrow. We talked about for a long time, and the upside there in that edge room, Miguel Chavis going out to Utah to see him and working on the farm and all that stuff. And obviously Oklahoma battled right to the end with this guy, but they end up not getting him. Put the finishing touches on this one. Was it just purely the being close to home was too much to overcome? More than that, what it kind of did boil down to for you guys?
So are we 2 for 2 or 2 to 2 BYU versus OU right now? I think that's what it is. Braxton Lindsay and Wolfgram to BYU, and then Sparrow and Crew Jones to OU right now. I mean, so, you know, I think it's just always going to be hard to pull the Utah kid out of Utah, especially with all this. I mean, the LDS angle and just all the different ways you can look at it. I think it's, you know, you got to feel good that you got Crew Jones and you got Bodie Sparrow. But Wolfgram, a month ago, he had just gotten his 4th star. He wasn't in the top 247 rankings, and Colin can touch more on this, but now he's up to 105 in the rankings. So this is a really, really talented prospect that BYU, I just think kind of they had to get Wolfgram. And OU certainly wanted him really badly as well, but, you know, seems like BYU, they not only put the full court press on him during that official visit, but they continued to do that. And, you know, we kind of said, the longer this drags out, the better for Oklahoma. It didn't drag out as long as it probably could have. And so I guess BYU just a good job here to really hammer home the stay close to home and the faith angle and everything that comes with this.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning as well, Yuhila Wolfgram, one of the nation's elite, right? A prospect that just outside the top 100 nationally, he is a headliner in this cycle, but BYU offered him as an in-state program a long time ago. And I do think that might be getting a little bit overlooked because not always do any in-state program across the country, not always do you have the flexibility to offer an in-state recruit and then hold up to that word dependent upon the developmental track record. But BYU, you know, Yuhila Wolfgram said it in his story on 24/7 Sports Today. BYU offered him early and maintained that level of contact and effort pretty much all the way through since day one when they offered him as a recruit, like still ascending on his path. And I think that matters because, number one, the offer is early. They placed that faith early. But second, that relationship built over time was just going to be hard to match, right? I do think that Oklahoma relationally really impressed. And I'm not going to lie to you. I had some stuff ready to roll from Yuhila Wolfgram that talked about he went on the Oklahoma visit and his family was thoroughly impressed with the environment in Norman. And I do think that is a big reason why his eyes and his family's eyes were open to the possibility of leaving the state of Utah to go to a place like Oklahoma because of the people in place at OU. But I think that when you have that early relationship set in with an in-state recruit and you are a relational style staff like BYU, I mean, I don't think it's any secret. Kalani Sitake, one of the most respected people, I mean, in all of football.
Yeah.
And the rest of that BYU staff, their leader, his ability to build relationships trickles down. And so it ultimately leads to winning out in this recruitment. It's a heck of a get for BYU. Congratulations to BYU. And honestly, congrats to you, Eli Wolfgram, because I know that this one was tough for him down the stretch, but it's hard to say no, especially when you have the opportunity to stay home, play for people that you trust, and you can still play at the highest levels of football while being not too far from your family farm.
I mean, Kalani Sitake, he's great. Like, if he would have went to Penn State this last cycle, I don't think we would have seen this type of a battle with all three of these guys. But yeah, I mean, you could see that Oklahoma, they were really putting the full court press on Wolfgram. I mean, you had Miguel Chavis kind of quote tweeting it, like sub-tweeting it. That
tweets, it was like just about every
player. I mean, even PJ Adebowore, who's seems like almost allergic to being on social media, he was even tweeting about it, right? Like, you had every single defensive end on the roster tweeting about it. I don't think that was like, right. I don't think that OU was mandating their guys to recruit about it. I think that those guys just wanted to land Wolfgram. You had so many Crew Jones, all these different guys were pushing for it, but ultimately it just wasn't enough to overcome what BYU done. And I just think that's kind of part of it. I mean, once Oklahoma didn't quite get him to turn in his chip on his visit on May 29th, you open the door to a BYU getting to really take their stab at an official visit. And when they have everything they have going for them, like the relationships and the proximity to home, a visit like that, it's going to be hard to overcome. And Oklahoma seemed like they were close to doing so, but they just didn't do enough.
Two obvious follow-up questions for you guys. A, is this over? Or number one, is there a chance that Oklahoma keeps in it till December? And who knows? Just your feeling on that part of it. And the other obvious half of that equation is there a pivot? Do they look at any other edges? Also, you have Crew Jones, like we said. You also have Samuel Nelson. So you have two in this cycle. Do you think with still, you know, it's early July, there's still some time, but not a ton, that they could pivot to another edge? Or do they stick with Wolfgram hoping for a flip later? What's kind of your read on that situation on kind of both angles of it?
I would say that number one, I do think that this is pretty much it for Wolfgram. Now, let me say this. Do I think that Oklahoma will still reach out and keep that relationship? Absolutely. Sure. Because in today's day and age of college football, I mean, there's no better way to say it. Finishing second matters no matter who you are. But I do think that Wolfgram and the Wolfgram family, the role that the family played in this decision, I think that this was the move for a reason. And I think that, I mean, the way that this was handled down the stretch, how tightly knit the decision was. I mean, I was told that they called the staffs like this morning, at least Oklahoma got word. And I think that all of this combined is for a reason. I think that the family knows and Uila knows that that's the place that he ultimately wants to be. Secondarily, as far as another edge, I could see it. You know, I do think that it is kind of tough, right? Because you've had a couple of other edge targets out there in the past that were on the board and being pursued, but didn't necessarily work out entirely. And so what I would probably say, if there is someone out there, especially through the senior evaluation period of the season, that makes a lot of sense. We've seen this staff be willing to go out and try to get a guy. But at the same time, I do wonder how that looks if you swoop in late try to get them on campus. Make sure you've got your process checked off through verified measurements and things of that nature. And then ultimately stamp the player and try to sign him in December. So I would say, I mean, it's tough to answer at this time. So maybe sure. It's probably the best that you're going to get. But I do think that for the longest time, Oklahoma's wanted to take three defensive ends, Brody, and I don't think that they're going to rule out pursuing another if it makes sense for them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe we see a fall evaluation that they fall in love with and they really want to take, or something happens to where you feel you're able to flip one of your past targets. I mean, but as of right now, it's hard to say. I mean, I really can't say, yeah, I think they'll go pursue this guy right now. It's just we'll just have to see. I think it's definitely something to monitor. You know, will they be able to find another edge similar to wide receiver? Like, will they be able to get that third receiver that they just really like? Or so it'll be interesting to monitor. But right now, I think it's hard to just say whether or not they will take a third.
Yeah, and that's the important part of what you guys are saying, really, that stands out to me, and I'm sure people listening, is that there's not a name, right? There's not an obvious, like, well, I could see them circling to this guy, or, you know, there's not one of those right now, and that's really the kind of the important part of that. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. Obviously, there's still a long way from now in December. Maybe something does change with Wolf Graham, or maybe another edge pops up. We'll see. Obviously, certainly like the two you have in Jones and Nelson, but like Colin said, wouldn't hate a third one. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. And obviously, if anything comes up, I'm sure that these guys will have it and we'll discuss it on the show. So pivoting off that, you know, kind of moving to some interesting kind of news today. They made a recruiting staff pickup as well. I want to get you guys' thoughts on, because you guys are the right guys to ask about it, especially, you know, Colin, you brought it up. So they add Maniah Brown today, and he's going to be on the kind of scouting recruiting department, if you will. And Brody, you were talking about before we started recording that obviously we just talked about the state of Utah has been very good to Oklahoma in this class with Sparrow and Crew Jones. They almost had obviously a Wolf Graham, and there's a number of 2028 guys that are going to be very interesting in that class as well. Just Utah becoming a little bit of an important state for Oklahoma, and this hire would suggest that as well. It sounds like based on what you guys have told me, like this is going to continue to be a thing. Like I know it's kind of been a fun thing in this class of like they just keep going into the state of Utah, but it sounds like based off what you guys have kind of been saying to me, like this is going to continue to be a thing. The state of Utah is going to be an Oklahoma area for a while.
Yeah, and I'm sure Colin will dive into like who these players are that they're pursuing. I mean, I just think when you look at the hire itself, he was a former BYU defensive tackle.
Right.
He started coaching out at Northeastern State as the defensive line coach and then assistant director of recruiting at Fresno State. I think it's just simple. Hey, why don't you go help us land these kids out west or maybe in Utah or whatever it may be. But, yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, especially when you look forward to 28. With all these guys that they are potentially going to be recruiting very heavily, just to have someone else on staff who's going to have those connections and who can help recruit these kids. I think it could be a sneaky good hire that will maybe in a few recruitments pay dividends.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, it's a really good hire because this is someone who is part of a really good staff at Fresno State and a really well-run operation, someone who's into scouting, into recruiting, and he talked about it in his hire announcement. I mean, he is someone who played. He is someone who, out of the state of Utah, like helped kind of shape his mindset and grounded him in the game. And I think this is someone who will be very relatable to a lot of recruits who are navigating the process, whether it's navigating through actually playing. You know, he talked about his faith, which we know Oklahoma is very much a faith forward program. I think that matters. But on top of all of that, we talk about BYU Oklahoma. Like our guy Jeff Hansen on our BYU side at 24/7 Sports wrote an excellent piece. We talk about Braxton Lindsey and Bodie Sparrow and Crew Jones and now Uriel Wolfgram, but Jeff talked about it. That's kind of just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, people forget Sione Felila canceled his BYU official visit right around the time that he was committing to Oklahoma. So BYU was in the mix there. And there the list goes on, but the 2028 cycle, as Brody mentions, it's clear that Oklahoma views this as a territory of priority, and it's understandable. because Oklahoma already has four offers out in the state of Utah in 28. And in 2028, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, moving forward. 2028 for the state of Utah is supposed to be one of the better classes that the state has seen in years. And if I could illuminate this for you, there are multiple four stars already stamped. I believe we're up to seven just in the state of Utah alone, and who are already inside five-star territory. And a lot of them guys are teammates of Crew Jones, the Oklahoma commit, in 2027. In fact, Miguel Chavis flew out to go see Crew Jones and meet with a couple of players and ended up just offering a lot of them while he was out there to see Crew and Uila, and he ultimately made some of these moves. But in the class of 2028, guys, when you make this type of hire, when you have this type of battle going on, and ultimately when you're in this involved in the state of Utah, in 2028, OU has four offers out. Two of them are to guys inside the top 32 already. Again, these are just state of Utah players. One of them is the number one offensive tackle in the country in Maui Tanata. We had an exclusive interview with Tanata on SoonersIllustrated.com. If you'll remember, you can still go read that article. To my knowledge, it's still the only piece of OU-related content published related to the number one offensive tackle in the country. Maui Tanata, he is at Orem High, which is where Crew Jones is now. He was previously at Ridgeline. So Tanata is at Orem. He is the one offensive tackle. On the other side, another guy holding the OU offer is Matteo Fano, who is Spencer Fano, the former first-round draft pick's younger brother. Those two are the offensive tackle set at Orem High. And again, they're practicing against OU commit Crew Jones.
Right.
That's nuts. But opposite of Crew Jones, you think the offensive tackle duo is solid there at Orem. You've got Crew Jones on one side, and you have Major Stokes on the other, who is the number 85 overall recruit in the country for us in 2028. And Major Stokes, I've seen the testing numbers. I've seen the data. Unreal. I mean, and by the way, I'm sure I'll do a profile on Major Stokes here pretty soon. An incredible story with this guy, a really fun profile to dive into. He's another elite prospect. All four of these guys at Orem High together, a built-in relationship. Dennis Tuaone, I believe is how you say his name. I might be butchering that. He's the other one in the state of Utah that has the offer. Number 79 overall recruit in the country. So, again, no one that I've mentioned is below number 85, and they're all in the state of Utah. And these are, I believe, four of the seven in the state of Utah with a four-star rating to this point. It's, again, potentially one of the best crops of classes like we've seen in the Beehive State, and Oklahoma pushing for these prospects in it the way that it has. OU is going to be involved with a lot of these guys. Some built-in connections are already to their advantage. And ultimately, I think whether it's the OU versus BYU or whoever else in the Beehive State that Oklahoma is having to go up against, it's showing to you why OU views these players as guys that should go pursue, because oftentimes they're elite talents and really good fit for Oklahoma's program.
Yeah, really interesting. And, you know, it's not hard to see why, to your point, that, yeah, Oklahoma's kind of putting themselves in position to continue to take advantage. It's a state that seems to be kind of popping right now when it comes to high school football and just getting better, though. Let me watch how that develops. And Colin's going to have us covered out there. We'll talk about that more in just a second, but we're going to have an in out there with our guy CK for sure. So going to be fun to see how that progresses into next cycle. But Utah being good, the state of Utah being good to Oklahoma in this cycle, and if it's up to them, we'll continue to be certainly next year and likely beyond. So
the Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break.
You mentioned 2028. Did have one more there before we kind of sign off on the show today with quarterbacks. So we talked, you know, a few weeks back, maybe a couple months, can't remember how long ago it was, Colin. It was just you and I at the time about Trey Tagliaferri and, of course, Brady Quinn as well, the two kind of 28 quarterbacks that Oklahoma was interested in. Big development this week in that Tagliaferri, who had just committed to Notre Dame. How long was he committed? Like a couple days.
Six days.
Decommitted from the Irish this week, so not even a week. He decommits. Obviously, a lot of OU fans, their ears perk up when this happens because this is a guy that Oklahoma was very interested in, had been in Norman before, and now it's feeling like, hey, Oklahoma may be circling back to have a crack at him. Brody, I'll let you get first look at it. You've been reporting on it on our VIP board for our Sooners Illustrated members that Oklahoma, you know, not just going to circle back to get their crack at him, but has a decent to good shot here. How would you kind of classify where things are at with Tagliaferri after he decommits from Notre Dame here earlier this week?
Yeah, and I think that Oklahoma had a huge reason is why Tagliaferri's back on the market right now, right? Like, I think this was primarily Oklahoma's doing. And it's interesting because Tagliaferri and his whole family are huge Notre Dame fans. I mean, huge Notre Dame fans. So for him to back off that commitment and now be back, and I think this is probably one that's like Oklahoma wants to get a quarterback committed very soon in this 2028 class. And I think this is one that could move rather quickly. But one of the more interesting parts to this that I've kind of mentioned on the board, and I kind of look at it as where this offense might be trending. Brady Quinn, I think, is a little bit more stylistically to kind of like the Bo Bentleys or the John Matiers of what we've seen, versus Tagliaferri is kind of more of like what would you say, Colin, like a more pro-style quarterback. So I think it's interesting as you look at if this is who they preferred, maybe this is a little bit of an indication that kind of some of the things we've been hearing about maybe having a more pro-style offense be coming to fruition. I think it's interesting because of that, but Tagliaferri, very live arm, like very strong arm. And I think he would be a really good get, especially if they can lock him in soon and have their quarterback for this 2028 class done. I bet they want to have this done before OU season kicks off. And I think they're in a good spot with Tagliaferri out of New Jersey.
Yeah. It's my understanding that this is probably going to go quick. I think that I'm not going to lie to you. When we fired up the podcast, this did register momentarily in my mind. I was like, you know, the last time we did this type of show, Trent Blaylock popped. So I was like, dude, if Trey does this as well at the same time, I'm going to lose it. Thankfully, I don't have anything on my phone yet. We'll see. But yeah, look, I think Brody knows how I feel. I can't remember if we talked. I mean, I think Trey Tagliaferri is the guy that, I mean, again, Brody does a good job of kind of describing this here. I do think that Brady Quinn was probably more of the schematic fit or the stylistic fit, however you want to phrase it. But Tagliaferri, to me, I think that that would be the quarterback that if I were in the room, not that my opinion matters at all, this would be the guy that I would probably lean towards. I like him a lot on tape. And this is someone who Oklahoma has gone out to see. He visited this summer. It's clear that the interest was there. I do think that some conversations behind the scenes ultimately helped the Tagliaferri camp realize just how interested Oklahoma is in him. And through those talks, I think that now this is the top candidate by far to end up at Oklahoma's classic quarterback. If this does work out, which I ultimately think it will, again, it would be a heck of a get. I'm sure this will be something that we talk about a little bit more here on the pod whenever it gets figured out. But I mean, we've talked about him on the show here a couple times in the past, just a really quality quarterback and someone who it was understandable that they went after despite kind of an uncommon territory for them out there on the far East Coast. I like the fact that Oklahoma basically said, you know what? Like, this is the guy that we really like. Let's go try to chip away at this guy, even though he just committed. And it's clear that that effort might be paying off.
I think it shows you how much they like him and how badly they want to get. Like, they didn't just go to the next guy. So I think it's very interesting. But yeah, I think this is, like Colin said, one that could get done rather quickly. If I was a betting man, I'd bet on him being the first member of the class in 2028. And it'd be huge to just get your quarterback locked in and then go from there. And then obviously to flip a longtime Notre Dame fan from Notre Dame, I think that would be big for this team.
For sure. First off, shout out, you guys are both saying it correctly. I butchered it before. The G is silent, Tagliaferri. I knew that and I just totally forgot. Yeah, well, I mean, just totally just an interesting pull, from my perspective. Just like you said, he's not really like Mateer or Bo Bentley, and he's the state of New Jersey, and just kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit of like a bucking the mold a little bit, but that's fine. That's cool. And you know, it's very interesting because, like, where does Oklahoma stand with quarterbacks like this right now? Are they still a destination school for high-end quarterback? I mean, this guy, like you said, big Notre Dame fan, committed to Notre Dame. It's not like he's, you know, it's not like OU's competing against, you know, G5 here. I mean, it's Notre Dame that they're trying to pull a guy from. And, you know, so it's just kind of, I mean, the Jackson Arnold thing didn't really work out. John Mateer portal is a big transfer coming over. But, like, are they still a destination for quarterbacks? It kind of seems like yes, despite, you know, maybe recently it not being, you know, those Heisman guys were kind of a while ago. Like, we're kind of moving further away from that. But it still seems like OU is a place that resonates with these high school kids. It's how it seems.
I mean, yeah, this has been a huge topic of conversation on the board. People are like, well, with the Ben Arbuckle coming over, this is going to mean we're not going after those elite quarterbacks anymore. I mean, you look at Bo Bentley, who's a top 100 prospect, right? Like, Bentley, very highly touted. You have him, and then you go get a Jameson Roberts, who I think is going to have a chance to be a very solid player. And they got on him very early. But, you know, Colin can touch on this, but Taliaferri is someone – I just say with the 2028 class, it is very early on to just look at rankings. Right now, he's 89 grade 3-star, right? Composite 4-star, but with 247, 89 grade 3-star. I think it's early. I would just tell people just wait and see where he ends up in the rankings, because I do think he's a very solid quarterback who quite possibly could end up as a 4-star in this class, just depending. Like, he still has a junior season and a senior season. Sure. So – a lot of time left, but I do think that Oklahoma is going to look to get some of your top quarterbacks. But I can see how it may not come across as they're in the mix for them. But I think Jameson Roberts, Taliaferri, these are still good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I've got a couple of things here. Number one, Josh, as you know, I don't argue with anybody who doesn't know what an 89 player grade means at 24/7 Sports, because you just don't know what you're talking about. An 89 player grade basically means you are a 4-star, especially this early in the process. And even if you finish the cycle as an 89 grade, that grade means basically a multi-year guy at the Power 4 level. Everybody in every personnel office is taking a quarterback who is a multi-year impact guy at the Power 4 level. I don't care what you want to talk about. Second of all, we talk about recruiting the top quarterbacks. Well, at some point, when you are recruiting a position where, let's just call it what it is, egos are involved, when you go out and get a top 100 recruit in Bo Bentley, and you follow that up with Jameson Roberts, who is another 89 player grade, and someone who is also seen as, I believe, a 4-star in the composite, was Oklahoma going to go into 2028 and have the easiest pitch in the world to some of these prospects? The answer is no. All these quarterbacks know who everyone else is. Like, they follow each other because they have to. There's only one quarterback on the field. And unfortunately, if you commit, you only get 1 year of separation away from the guy that committed ahead of you, right? So when you go and get two quarterbacks of the caliber of Bo Bentley and Jameson Roberts back-to-back, I mean, what elite prospect that's not ultimately 100% all in on the idea of being at Oklahoma is going to commit to that right away? Just not going to happen. However, the third thing that I was going to say to Josh's question, is Oklahoma an attractive destination? This is partial speculation. This is partial reporting on my end, and I think Brody can back me up here. I think there is a big reason why Oklahoma made this move for Taliaferri, and it is because Brady Quinn, the other guy in this equation, I have heard was someone who was a candidate, especially given the way that Oklahoma was recruiting him. I mean, Brent Venables went out to meet with him, a whole nine. Brady Quinn was a candidate to pick up the phone and call Oklahoma for that call at any moment. Not an exact timeline, but it was very apparent, especially with the Taliaferri news. Quinn could be committed to Oklahoma at any moment. And I think that through all of this, Oklahoma's willingness to say, you know what, like, let's press here. Let's go and get a quarterback that we have high on the board and show our intent behind it. I think that's also a big reason why that this is getting worked out. And again, when you take all of that into consideration, I don't think there's really any denying that Oklahoma's a place that quarterbacks want to be.
No doubt. Interesting stuff, no doubt. And we'll see. Like, you guys are both are feeling pretty good about it and that this could happen soon. And obviously, if it does, we'll let you know over as soon as Illustrated, and we will certainly discuss next time we're able to on the show here. But a name that OU fans should probably get familiar with, Trey Taliaferri from the state of New Jersey, maybe coming aboard here very, very soon. All right. I think that's it. Before we go, though, do some site/show news/announcements. Obviously, I don't want to steal you guys' thunder. You guys both have stuff to get out there, but some shifting around of things. Both of you guys are getting bumps, getting promotions. I'll let you guys both kind of describe it yourself. Again, I don't want to steal anything from you or misrepresent anything, but Colin, first off, long overdue, dude. Well earned. Moving to a national role with us. Go ahead, dive into like what it means. What it means. What it looks like. What you're going to be doing for 24/7. Kind of moving forward.
Yeah, I think that it's really exciting. First and foremost, moving into a national recruiting analyst role here at 24/7 Sports. I think that anyone who has kept up with me, and first of all, I really appreciate everyone who has supported us here and supported my career over the years between all of my different stops. My career has lived a lot of different lives, and this next chapter is possible because of everybody out there watching and listening, especially those who have supported along the way. Moving into a national recruiting analyst role, going to really be hammering home out west in the western region with Blair Angulo, who I don't even know what I can say about Blair. The ultimate pro's pro, genuinely one of the best in the industry, someone who everybody knows. And the opportunity to partner with Blair, join our national recruiting team at 24/7, it was an opportunity that I just couldn't refuse. And so we talk about, you know, the investment into recruiting the state of Utah. While we're here on the show, I just got a text to put in my season credential for Utah high school football.
Oh, so, yeah. Here we go. A little chillier than in Texas, so get ready. Buckle up. Get a nice coat.
My for those curious, I'll be moving to Phoenix, Arizona, and that's going to be hot. And then I will be covering a lot of different states out on the west. And so going to Utah, I'm sure I'm going to soak in that mountain view backdrop in a lot of these football stadiums for a few seconds and then ultimately freeze down on the field. But, man, I couldn't be more excited. And I the thing that I really want to hammer home, too, is, like, I'm not really going anywhere, especially with the way that Oklahoma's recruiting the West. Stacy Ford, this brand-new hire onto the staff. I mean, everyone at OU, the way that they have chosen to pursue the Western region – understandably so. I mean, I do think ultimately a big reason why I am someone who made sense for the role is because of my experience covering so many of these guys out on the West with Oklahoma's efforts. And so,
yeah,
it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Something that, I mean, for me, I've been working towards for a lot of my career. And again, I think a lot of Oklahoma fans know as well, I kind of been a national guy anyway behind the scenes, just didn't have the title publicly. And so making this thing official was really exciting. And transitioning next, a big reason why I am making the move is because I felt comfortable being able to do so because of the guy that I'm handing the keys to moving forward.
Yeah. So very happy for Colin, obviously extremely well-earned long. I mean, matter of time, Colin's as good as it gets. We knew this was going to happen eventually. Like he said, he'll still be chipping in on the site because Oklahoma's just recruiting his area. So he's going to be around just like all our national guys are, but obviously Colin will have a special place, I'm sure, in his heart for Sooners Illustrated. And with that, Brody is basically stepping in to kind of Colin's role essentially. And obviously Brody's been with us for a couple months now and has absolutely crushed it. He's been awesome. He's been everything we hoped he would be so far, and I'm excited to get into the season with him. But, Brody, man, I mean, it's been a great first couple months, and, yeah, you're kind of, you know, just getting a big promotion essentially within the site, and we're thrilled to get you, like, full-on, full-time because we know that we want you to be around for a long time. So excited for that as well, dude.
Yeah, it's exciting. Definitely big shoes to fill, but I'm grateful that Colin will still be – in the network helping out you know building these connections out on the West Coast, that's going to pay dividends when Oklahoma's out there recruiting the West Coast. So, I mean, it's going to be obviously great opportunity for him. Super excited for him. Super excited also about what we're going to keep doing over at Sooners Illustrated. You know, couldn't be more excited about it. So, very, very happy with it. And then very happy for Colin to get this opportunity that we all know has been long overdue for him.
And I Brody's going to be humble, so I'll just say it. Once this started becoming a thing, really the only reason that I felt like I could do it was because I think we found someone who is going to be a lot better than me in Brody Lusk. And number two, I said it in the board post, Josh Callaway is the professional that I aspire to be every day. And I'm only partially joking there. But the way Josh covers the team, Tom Green is the best writer I have ever been around. And Josh's ability to help cover the football program behind the scenes, the baseball program, so many others, Tom delivering news, and then Brody here, who is already a dominant force in both the football and basketball spaces. I started entertaining this opportunity because I felt like Brody would be the guy that could supersede me and ultimately be the person that Oklahoma fans would, you know, forget about me one day. But to move Brody into a full-time role, his first in the industry, like it's well-deserved already. It's crazy. I forget myself how young Brody is sometimes. And that's a testament to his maturation and effort. And I think the big thing too that I really want to hammer home is like the stuff that you've seen from the both of us together covering the recruiting trail is still only beginning, because I'm still going to be able to utilize my connections in the state of Oklahoma and the state of Texas and so many other states throughout the country. And then I'll be able to essentially be an extension of the staff here out in the area that arguably Oklahoma's recruiting the most. And then with Brody running point on it all, I think it's a really cool move, and I think it was the right move to make to better the site moving forward. And I'm incredibly excited about all this coming together.
Yeah, we'll still have, I mean, obviously there'll be tons of insider information. I mean, as Colin goes out west, like we've kind of touched on, that's just going to bring more connections and more intel back to our site. So, I mean, all this being said, I think it'd be a great time to check out what we have going on over at Sooners Illustrated. I think it's Sooners Pod 60, right? That's the code to use. There you go. Sooners Pod 60 to go check out what we have going on over there. I mean, it's a great time as we get into recruiting and fall camp's going to come around the corner. We'll have stuff all about that and then the season. So, yeah, excited for Colin and what he's going to go do as one of the top dogs of the national reporter and excited for what we have over here at Sooners Illustrated. You know, I think, as mentioned, this is my first full-time gig in the industry, but to do it and have Colin in my corner and then to work alongside Josh and Tom, who Colin mentioned are two of the best on this mark. I mean, it's a good situation for me, and I think it's a good situation for our site to be in as well.
And I've already committed to providing the Survivor Pool prize again next year. Mm-hmm. So if you sign up to Sooners Illustrated, you could potentially be taking my money anyway.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, right. 100%.
It's something that everybody looks forward to on the board. And I've got gift cards going out. So there will be another round next year. So I'm literally obligated to be around if my money is involved.
It's great. It's awesome. I'm excited for both you guys. I'm excited for the season to get Brody with us. So, I mean, the way it's going to work as far as like a show perspective, obviously Colin might still pop in the rest of the summer, maybe, you know, occasionally. But for the most part, we're going to let him do his thing. You know, he's got a new job and obviously the life aspect of moving and a big move out to Arizona. So Brody and I will handle the recruiting shows just like Connell and I did before. Tom and I obviously have the Monday show just like before. And when we get to the season, Brody's going to be extremely involved. We're planning to have him at all the games with us. So Colin and I did the instant reactions last year throughout the November run. That'll probably, I mean, I assume that'll be Brody and I this upcoming season. And so It's going to be seamless. I have no doubt about it. Collins, a huge loss because he's great. And obviously, he's still going to be the site. So loss, maybe not the right word. But we're going to be in a great shape because Brody's already done an awesome job. And it's only going to get better. And our basketball coverage, which has already been, I think, pretty good considering all things considered with Tom and I, getting a huge upgrade in Brody. I mean, already been a massive boost. So it's only only improving. So be with
that's
us.
That's another thing. Go check out VIP board, Sooners Illustrated. If you have any interest in basketball, they are not done adding to this roster. And we have a note on that that no one else has mentioned. So, and I'm not talking just depth pieces. They are looking to add people who are going to be contributors to this roster. So that's another thing that we can offer you at Sooners Illustrated. That I can promise you, you're going to get the basketball coverage you're not going to get anywhere else. And like I said, I mean, Josh and Tom also cover basketball. So to have what we have on the basketball end, and then obviously the football end, the most important. I just think we're, you know, great team here going forward.
No doubt. Josh, and again, worth repeating, Colin is going to be still going to be around. You know, he's not going to be as visible to show, but we're not losing. He's still in 24/7 sports. He's still going to be like, you know, he's going to be around.
Yeah, and look at what Josh just did with the baseball coverage. I mean, that team goes on and wins the national championship. Yeah. Josh, you were probably there at the stadium on a random Tuesday night against Dallas Baptist or whoever it may be, right? Like, so the baseball coverage is there. Tom does a phenomenal job with softball, right? So it's not just football and basketball that y'all are getting. Like, the baseball team just won a national championship, and Josh was in Omaha for what, a week?
However long, 12 days
in Omaha. So,
no doubt. No, we got you covered, and we got a great team. I love what we have going, and we have great management. And it's been, we've had, as soon as Illustrated, it's already gonna be our fourth football season, which is crazy. It's moved really quick, and we've gotten better, I think, each year as we've kind of figured out what we're doing a little bit. We started kind of from scratch the first time, like we kind of were feeling it out, and I think we've gotten better each year. 24, I thought we did a good job, but the team was such a rough year. We just made the best of it. And last year, the team winning more games, I thought, was by far our best season that we've had, and it's going to be better, even better this year, I'm sure. You know, we've continued to grow it, and so it's been awesome. It's been awesome, and I'm looking forward to this season, and we're not that far away. A couple months until games. I mean, less than that, obviously, until fall camp and media days coming up and all that good stuff. So anyway, again, excited for these two guys. And Colin will still be around and maybe back on the show sometime before the summer's over. But again, we'll kind of let him do his thing. We don't want to, you know, we'll let him do his thing, like I said. But that's it for now. I think anything, last things you guys want to get out there?
No, I mean, depending on when my next show is, if this is goodbye, then goodbye to all. But also I will say, let's go ahead and put on the books now, because of how much I covered this cycle, maybe a little signing day special to reunite the trio. And
I'm excited to get Brody into the although we usually wait till February for the superlative show, usually. But
the draft, maybe, the superlatives draft is an incredible show.
Adding a third guy to start to take some names off the board will make it 10 times harder, but a bit better. Well,
it feels like we would always be like honorable mention. Now those honorable mentions
are no more.
Yeah. That'd be great. No doubt. So I think that's it for now. Tom and I will circle back next week. We have some more kind of off-season football content. We're kind of biding our time a little bit here until media days and some other stuff, but we'll continue to set the table for the season. Brody and I will circle back with a recruiting show sometime next week, probably Thursday, I'm guessing, but we'll iron that out between now and then. We'll probably get into some of that hoop stuff as well. We'll do more of that, obviously, with Brody. Be foolish not to, because the guy just knows he knows it. So we'll do that then. But that's it for now. For Brody Lusk, Colin Kennedy, I'm Josh Callaway. We'll sign off and see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.